Let's talk digital.
We are at the cutting edge of digital tweaks, changes, transformation.
A local digital marketing podcast.
Conversing with industry experts and getting excerpts about the exceptional.
Hosted by Audrey Naidu.
Sit back, relax, enjoy your podcast. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in South Africa in the next couple of months and years. Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Talk Digital with myself, Audrey Naidu. On today's podcast, we are talking to Daniel Courtney, Executive Head of Group Digital Marketing at MultiChoice. He started working in digital when ad networks were still a thing, with extensive experience across programmatic and media platforms. He then joined MultiChoice in 2020 and has been leading the DMT journey ever since. Today, we're going to look at DMT from an organizational maturity point of view, with the understanding that success cannot be achieved if the organization is not prepared to evolve. How's it, Daniel? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Audrey. Thanks for having me.
So you trekked here all the way from Cape Town.
I did indeed, specifically for this podcast.
All right. Daniel, I understand that you guys had the hottest day in Cape Town last week.
We did. It was the hottest day on the planet, on the globe. I think we hit 47 degrees in Wellington. It was uncomfortable, to say the least.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But at least then you could go down to your beach and swim.
Yeah, I mean, the beaches were packed, as expected. And we live in the city pretty close to, you know, the Atlantic side. So lots of traffic and all that kind of stuff. Look, fortunately, we've got a swimming pool, so we didn't have to trek to the beach. But it was quite something. And it was a proper heat wave, so lots of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so welcome again, and I'm looking forward to our conversation today. But before we get there, from what I understand, when you're not working, because you're like crazy busy early parts of the morning when all of us are sleeping, you are running, boxing, playing golf, or cooking.
I mean, I feel like it's important to maintain some sort of balance. And I wake up pretty early in the morning, you know, so I typically train early, running mostly, boxing in the evenings if I get around to that. And then golf, you know, whenever I can. It obviously takes up a lot more time.
Yeah.
And I'd like to play more of it than I currently am able to. But being on a golf course is my happy place. Quiet and lots of space, lots of time to think. And then the cooking is at home, you know. So the cooking is easy to find time to do. And, you know, my wife and I like to entertain, and, you know, we like to cook and I like to eat. So, yeah, it just sort of fits into my life, I guess.
No, that's amazing to have so many different hobbies and things that you're passionate about. So coming back to today's conversation, right? I think we are both in agreement that every company is at different stages of their digital marketing journey. And it's an ongoing pursuit of achieving the highest level of scale, efficiency, innovation, profit using data and technology. So your thoughts around the statement? I mean, you've been busy doing exactly that in the last 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's a constant evolution, right? I mean, we're always chasing the next thing in digital. I feel like, you know, although we know what the ultimate goal is and we've got a pretty good idea of what success looks like inside of our worlds, I think typically by the time you get to what you think is success, the next thing is there for you to chase. Be that, you know, the next exciting thing in MarTech, you know, what we're doing with data. Obviously, there's been a massive move from third to first party data, which is sort of underpinning the next evolution in how we've got to approach digital marketing. So constant evolution, constantly looking for the next best thing, and obviously trying to stay agile in maintaining our stronghold in all of those different areas.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to do today is look at the organizational challenges and through the lens of the organization, because we know that digital marketing transformation cannot be achieved in isolation. We can't live in a marketing island and expect
digital transformation to happen. And although brands are talking about it, we haven't actually engaged on the organizational part. So it'll be interesting to get your perspective. When you joined MultiChoice, what was that like for you?
I mean, it's been an interesting journey. I started in a different role to what I'm in right now. I started with a focus on digital transformation. And, you know, when I started, Group Digital had just sort of been birthed. So it's new in terms of, you know, where it fits in the organization. And if I think about where we were 18 months ago in comparison to where we are today, there's been huge progress that's been made. You know, we looked at what we were dealing with, what we had, and we had a pretty good understanding of what we needed to do in order to digitally mature. We knew that we needed to consolidate. What we were doing was incredibly fragmented at the time. We knew that we wanted to drive efficiency both in data, technology, as well as in cost and commercially. We wanted to get closer to our partners because we wanted to own those relationships. I think a lot of the time those are sort of farmed out to agencies and that kind of thing. We needed to be better at measurement and analytics and reporting and all, you know, all the sort of usual suspects. And so we built a list of priority items and we started ticking boxes. You know, so from an agency perspective, it was the first time we consolidated. We brought our agency into one. We brought our buying tools into one. So we brought GMP in-house. So we, all agencies are now buying through our own sort of trading desks and stack. Got closer to our partners the way we wanted to. So we were able to negotiate, favorable commercial deals and really understand where the benefits inside of those partnerships lived. And then we started unpacking what we needed to do from an analytics and measurement perspective and how that tied into what we were doing from a marketing point of view. We obviously structurally there were lift and shifts and, whereas before areas that touched on digital sort of sat in our business units, we started bringing those areas closer together so that we had a more sort of cohesive view on what we wanted to do and how we were going to execute that. And obviously, from a product perspective, getting better at building user journeys and ensuring that, we were taking a customer-first approach in order to really nurture our customers into buying or acquiring MultiChoice and our products on some level. So lots of change, lots of progress, lots of maturity, lots of evolution.
And you accomplished this within 18 months.
Look, it's not perfect.
That's crazy.
It's not perfect. There is certainly a lot of work that still needs to be done. But there has been progress, and I'm incredibly grateful to have been part of that team, from 18 months ago to where we are today. And there's still a lot to do. So it's not very often I think you get an opportunity to do that kind of stuff in a big organization that's been around for a long time. And so I think it's a really exciting time to be part of a business like ours, where we're doing all of these really exciting digital things.
Yeah. So how did you get C-Suite to buy into your shared vision?
By sharing it, I think, you've got to find a way to use data and science to back up some of the things that you are going to put on the table. You can't just go to senior stakeholders and say, we've got this idea and we think it might work. Although obviously we have the benefit of being able to run tests and see whether things work or not. But, we had a vision. I think the business inherently understands what it needs to do. We're a customer-first business. We sell content. And we want subscribers. We want subscribers and we want to keep them. And so, our job as digital is to find a compelling way to share how we do that by using, products, platforms, tools, and marketing, of course, to make that work. And then obviously to you know, work with those stakeholders to build trust. I think once you've got trust and you've pulled off a couple of initiatives, it becomes a little bit easier. And we're a very outcomes-based organization. So, you know, nothing happens, I guess, in isolation. You know, the job isn't done by deploying something or integrating something and then running it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. We've got to show benefit and we've got to show outcomes. And I think once you do that over time, you start to get buy-in.
So there is a level of accountability.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what do you think are some of the factors that propel this change to happen almost overnight?
Look, I mean, I think COVID obviously has an impact. Our customers are engaging, you know, in different ways and on different platforms. We've got a lot of competition that didn't necessarily exist before. You know, we understand that we need to digitally transform because that is the present and the future. And so all of those things combined have a role to play in propelling, you know, the want and the need to mature. And obviously we've got to, you know, we've got to maintain agility in order to keep up with how quickly things are moving. You know, obviously in our world, moving from, you know, digital satellite, set-top, lean-back television into the OTT space in and of itself is massive transformation. So we embrace digital by virtue of that, and that sort of trickles down into everything because now everything's an online journey. And, you know, so we understand our customer movements a lot better. We understand how people come into a funnel. We understand how to use data and personalization at scale to drive performance. And all of those things are really what underpin the movement and the drivers behind this maturity movement.
So if you were to peg it, where would MultiChoice be sitting in terms of your digital maturity journey?
So we had some work done and we were very early on 18 months ago. I mean, I think in certain areas we were probably pre-nascent. And that's not to say that we didn't have digital elements in place, but they weren't necessarily working together, you know, the way we would have wanted it. I think last year this time we were probably sitting and emerging, and I think we're very close to and in certain respects are connected. We, like I said, you know, the job is not done. It's ongoing.
And it's a journey, yeah.
It is a journey, and I think we're doing a lot of the right things. So I'm excited about, you know, where we'll be in a year's time. And we strategically know what we need to do to get there. So it's just about executing now.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is amazing progress in such a short period of time. I want to talk about some of the challenges you experienced along the way, because I'm sure there were a few.
Sure. Look, I mean, I think obviously, you know, upfront stakeholder buy-in is a challenge. That's not to say that we don't get buy-in, but obviously, you know, getting everyone aligned and getting everyone on the same page and sharing a vision is a challenge. I think process can sometimes be challenging. You know, we've had, since I've been in the business, 3 RFPs, you know, marketing automation RFP, a DMP RFP, and a single agency RFP. In a very quick amount of time. And as you can imagine, you yourself come from a large organization. It's time consuming. And that's a challenge. But again, you know, as we've gone through these processes, you know, even our procurement team understands that this is different and it works differently and it delivers different things and it needs to happen faster. Yeah. And then obviously organizationally, culturally, you know, when I joined in the first lockdown. I hadn't met my team members personally until literally this week, many of them, and I still haven't met many of them. So trying to do this through a screen has been incredibly challenging. And yeah, so there've been a few challenges. If we had more time, I could probably unpack a bunch more.
But I can resonate with those challenges. I think large corporates, you know, go through similar experiences like yourself. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, because you haven't mentioned it as a challenge so I'm hopeful that it's a positive answer, is you mentioned earlier that you guys have brought in GMP in-house, but you haven't said anything about, you know, the skills and capability to manage it in-house. So how did you resolve that?
So, you know, we have some very skilled people inside of the Group Digital team that were driving the in-housing of our GMP. We do have a paid media agency that is responsible for executing through through GMP, right? So it's not something that we do in-house. We have one or two in-house team members that do use the platforms. But what it's given us is it's given us the ability to audit, to stay on top of you know, what's happening. It's given us far more control from a data perspective. We're doing a lot of work from an audience point of view. It allows us to look at how things are set up. It allows us to set things up. It allows us to pull those two worlds together. So DMP into GMP and then into, you know, the larger buying world. And while it's been a challenge, you know, we've also done things like implement training and certification stuff across the entire business. So, you know, we want anyone that's touching digital to at least do the high-level training and certification pieces across, you know, Google and Facebook and all of those things, so that we have an understanding of what these products and platforms do. Also not always easy to get right, not always easy to get adoption, but, you know, to the extent that now that's a KPI across the business is massive progress, you know. It just shows that we value how much, you know, our teams are investing into understanding these things. So I think GMP has been and bringing it in-house has been a really, really fundamental move for us, right? Just the fact that before, if we had four different agencies across the digital sort of landscape, South Africa, Africa, Supersport, General Entertainment, and those agencies buying almost on behalf of you, there's not much you can do if that relationship changes.
There's right? No control. You're losing your data.
Totally. Yeah. And by virtue of bringing that in-house, it's changed the entire game for us. Also, you know, things change and relationships change. And if and when those happen, it's just literally a login for somebody else. And that's it. So it's hard
Seamless.
Work up front. Specking it's tough. You know, the contractual negotiations are a challenge, but once it's done, it just makes life that much easier. So it's actually been a real blessing, and you know, kudos to the team that drove that and got it across the line.
I'm sure they'll be listening to this podcast.
Fingers crossed.
It's your job to share it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you see the role of agency partners supporting your DMT journey? Because that's also critical for success.
Yeah, I mean, really important for us. You know, we've been working with our new partners for 6 months. And, you know, obviously we're a big business. We've never done this before. So a lot to shift into a single agency, a different approach to look at, you know, an entire portfolio versus one business unit. But I view it as critical. I think it's incredibly important for our agency to help us understand how to stop competing against ourselves, to help us understand trends, to help us, you know, get a view of best practice, ongoing best practice, to help us drive strategy, to help us drive performance, to help us move bottom line in the right direction. So absolutely critical. And also, you know, our agency is not just a supplier. Our agency is our partner. We are a very performance-focused business, and we rely on them to deliver, and you know, for that reason, the role of the agency in our world is really, really important.
Talk to me about the single agency model. I mean, are you getting everything that you want out of digital, seeing that there's complexities, there's innovation, there is different needs? So when you talk about single agency model, does that include, is that just your media house, or are you, so your creative agency is sitting separately?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you think about the way that our business works, there's a lot of campaign creative still linked to our above the line initiatives. There's typically a golden thread that runs through campaign objectives at the highest level. So, you know, if we're going to do World Cup, there's an overarching theme, an overarching campaign idea. There's a, you know, and then whoever the business unit is that's executing will use you know, the creative agency that's best suited to that piece of work. And, you know, we have an analytics team in-house that is responsible for bringing our worlds together, for tracking, you know, all of our attribution, all of our paid, bringing that into a visualization experience that we can share across the business that gives everyone insight into how things are performing, etc. We have our product piece that also sits outside of the agency. And all of those things combined, you know, are being run and driven separately to our single agency that's focused on paid media execution across all of our channels. You know, and then outside of that, you've obviously got your organic stuff that runs across our BU. So there's a lot. The single agency has really been an initiative driven to drive efficiency, understand what's happening with data, understand what's happening commercially, understand, you know, working on how not to cannibalize what we're doing, because we've got so much paid out there, and you don't want to be running a Supersport ad in the same place as you're running a South Africa, you know, compact ad, and trying to fight for the same customer for two different, you know, opposing things.
Yeah.
So it really takes quite a lot of like granular effort and energy to understand what that looks like and to address it the right way. And you know, they've got the hard job of getting that right for us. But I genuinely believe that it was the right play, and it's early days still in terms of, you know, our migration into that world and even our partnership. But yeah, excited.
6 months is still early days, and it's quite a daunting task for the agency to get this right. But how far are you in terms of achieving a single view of customers? Because you spoke about data a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, in my mind, 40%, 50% of the way, you know. But single view and how we do that and what single view is are all very interesting concepts for me. And, you know, I know we spoke about it leading up to this podcast and what digital marketing transformation means. And obviously, that's the goal, right, is to get to a place where, you know, we've got a single view of our customer, data-driven personalization at scale, all those buzzwords. And we've got lots of initiatives that are running concurrently to try and get that right. We've got single sign-on stuff that's going to be able to track customers and apply IDs to users that are, you know, anywhere in our ecosystem. By virtue of that, we'll be able to get a sense of what they are engaging with from a content perspective. We have the benefit of being a subscription business. So we have a customer hub that's full of data, and we understand, you know, things on a more granular level and a personal level about our customers. You know, we've got our DMP in place. We've just onboarded our automated marketing partners as well. And obviously, you know, inherent in that is journey orchestration and, you know, CDPs and. So everything we're doing is driving this agenda. But then we have another view of personalization at scale, and that is the five C's, right? Which is conscious, curated, customer-centric communication. And really, I think how we get that right, and we're still trying to figure it out, but if you consider for a minute that typically personalization is based on an overarching persona of somebody that somebody else is able to see, and by virtue of that, you're defining somebody and putting them into a bucket or a segment, and you're able to communicate with them through a message that you think is relevant and personalized. But, you know, we understand that our customers are not the same person throughout the entire day. You know, you wake up in the morning and you are, you know, you eat breakfast Audrey, and then you go to the gym and you're gym Audrey, and you're in a completely different mindset in those two different spaces. And then you're driving to work and you're thinking about work, and then you're at work, and then you're making dinner, and then finally you're sitting down and you're watching some shows on Showmax, hopefully. And at all of those different points of the day and through all of those different personas, your propensity to convert with different messaging has a real impact on what personalization means. And that's what I'm referring to when I talk about conscious, curated, customer-centric communication. And our job is to get that right, is to make sure that not only in the day, and because we know that you sit inside of some sort of segment, that we can reach you with a message, but to really drill down into like specific moment when we have your attention and your attention is focused on a specific thing, that we can engage with you with something that you genuinely have interest in, that gives you value. And hopefully, you know, over the next little while, we'll be able to get there. Not an easy thing to do, but really important.
Well, I was thinking while you were speaking around the role of creative mm-hmm. in getting what you said right. How are you guys faring with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're doing okay in the creative department. You know, we're always testing. We're always looking at new and innovative ways. You know, the idea for this financial year is to drive innovation in creative, is to look at dynamic creative, is to look at programmatic creative, mm-hmm. And to use those things to try and appeal to cohorts that are engaging with, you know, different kinds of creative at different times. We're also looking at how we use creative across our owned and operated ecosystem to engage with customers that have done different things in different areas, that have watched content, that have shared content, that have read news stories and articles, and how we use creative to then entice those customers to watch different content, for example, right? Because our business is twofold. The one thing is to bring in new customers, and the other one is to keep them once they're there. So creative plays a different role depending on which of those two things we're trying to drive. Our creative agencies are great. You know, some of the work we do, both in digital, but certainly in above the line as well, I'm mind blown when I see the work on television, and it's really inspiring stuff. And you know, we've got a big year at MultiChoice. We've got amazing content that's coming through. It's a World Cup year, and some of the stuff that, you know, the agencies are showing us is really, really great work. So I think we're getting the creative stuff right. Again, we're under no illusion that we've ticked all the boxes, and we're always working. We're engaging with the Googles of the world to try and, you know, share best practice with us. You know, we're looking at our international counterparts to see what they're doing. You know, we've got some great talent in house that's also doing amazing work, and that are constantly learning and training and upskilling to, you know, to enable themselves to deliver the kind of work that we want to. So, yeah, I think we're in a good place creatively, if I'm honest with you. More video this year, I hope.
I actually wanted to ask you, what does it mean to be a digital first brand? Because it seems that that's where our MultiChoice is aiming towards.
Yeah, I mean, I think to consider everything with a digital lens, to understand how our customers are engaging digitally, and to apply thinking and strategy around how we engage with those customers in the places they are from a community perspective. It means understanding how we need to be better in all of the digital spaces across the business and driving those agendas. It means ensuring that our culture and our teams and our organizational structure are set up in order to be agile, in order to move when there is an opportunity. It means failing fast, thinking different. All of those things. And it means embracing I just want to be quite specific in that although we're obviously driving digital transformation, we also are a television business, you know. Mm. So it's not one or the other. It's about finding a way for those two things to work succinctly together, while driving the stuff we have to in digital, because that's the way that, you know, the world is moving, and it's that balance. So yeah, I think I've answered some of that question, maybe not all of it perfectly.
No, I think you did, because, you know, one of the things we talk about is marketing being siloed or marketing being synchronized with the other areas that it's infused into your business dynamics. Because I think, you know, if I look at the future of marketing, it's looking at traditional businesses and mm-hmm. how they structure and operate, but they are doing digital marketing transformation, but not in the correct way.
Sure.
And then it's exponential organizations that are actually moving along the same path, you know, that's synchronized.
Yeah.
So it seems that you are on the latter bit.
I think we are. If you're not exponential today, you are getting left behind in a big way, you know. COVID drove exponential across the board. Exponential growth, exponential adoption, exponential maturity. If those things were on your radar and were important to you. And again, you know, we have to consider how our customer base is evolving, and that is exponential too. So in order to continue to engage with them in a way that makes sense for them, we've got to be there. Yeah.
So did you find that you were, as leader, responsible for the strategy of digital marketing transformation? Your role was to lead and influence the rest of the organization to take them on this journey with you, or, just a strategy on a paper, but not work. Just explain to me, some of that dynamics, because I think that's really important that senior marketing leaders have a critical role to play for DMT to be successful.
Sure. I think we're fortunate in that our entire group digital leadership team shares a vision. And so, marketing is part of that vision. There's a marketing element, there's a product element, there's a content element, there's an analytics element, and those things are all sort of moving in the same direction. So, yes, absolutely. Last year there was a digital marketing strategy, and there were elements inside of that strategy. I mean, some of those I mentioned up front in our conversation. And I guess as a leader, it's your responsibility to get buy-in to drive that strategy forward, right? I mean, I certainly don't have mandate to, tell stakeholders what to do. We genuinely work together because we believe in what we're trying to achieve. And I guess inherently, my role requires that I can eloquently share that view, frame it the right way, hopefully convince, people that it's the right thing to do, and then help to steer on the journey to getting there and to achieving that. But it's definitely not in isolation. There are a lot of very clever people, a lot of creative people, and a lot of people that are building these strategies that incorporate the marketing element, which is the part I'll focus on, but all with the intention of driving digital excellence across the continent for our business.
So it is a collective team effort.
100%.
In your case, yeah. So I'm not sure if you read the book by Tony Saldana called Why Digital Transformations Failed. And he says that about 70% of digital transformations fail due to the lack of sufficient discipline.
Right.
Do you find that can be the case?
We could probably muse on this for a couple of hours. This isn't something that happens overnight. I don't think it's just discipline. Discipline, sure. I think lack of patience. You're not going to see results overnight. Sure. Lack of buy-in. An inability to really show value as a result of the things you're doing is going to result in people losing faith in what you're doing. So there are a number of different things that I think lead to digital transformation not working. But I believe that if you have, if you know where you want to go and you're able to effectively plot the journey to getting there, you've got the right team in place, you can work on the organizational structure and culture, that you've got a really good chance of making it, right? Obviously, you need some talent in there, some people that know what they're doing.
Talent is key.
And then I think you're in a good spot. But, if I was going to give anyone any advice, it would be to be clear in what you're trying to achieve, but also to be patient, because there's a lot of moving parts that go into this thing. And it's not an overnight story. It's going to take us 5 years by the end of this. You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
Yeah.
So where do you see MultiChoice 5 years from now?
Well, I mean, I see us in our fifth year. I'd like us to just be doing BAU really, really well. Taking all of these things that we've implemented and driven and just succinctly working together. I want to be able to see a customer that's come into our journey. I want to be able to see what they've done along the way. I want to understand why they've done what they've done. I want to be able to engage with them if they've dropped off based on the reasons they have. And then I want to understand what they are when they're a customer, what makes them tick, where they're getting benefit and value from the business. You know, we want to understand what they need so that we can compete better. We want to understand what their value is so that we can talk to the business about the value that digital is giving back into the organization. And then there's a lot of other stuff that's happening in parallel, which doesn't just exist inside of our organization now. It's content for a completely different podcast, but you know, it's the Web3s of the world and that whole trajectory. And who knows where we'll end up in that space, because that's not even 5 years away. That's like now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you mentioned blockchain earlier, right? It's going to disrupt programmatic.
Yeah. Well, I think it has a lot of application. For organizations, for traditional processes and practices, as well as digital. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and in all of the other areas that I won't bore you to death talking about now. But
yeah, if somebody wants to be challenged, then digital is the right place for them to come to.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
So, Daniel, in closing, what would you like to leave our listeners with in terms of how leading organizations, you know, and digital marketing transformation?
Look, I mean, I think strap yourself in for a wild ride, and try and enjoy the process. We've said it a few times on this podcast, but there's a lot to take into account here. I think it's about keeping your sort of options open, ensuring that you know what's happening in this world and around us. Take a keen interest in what progress looks like and where things are going to naturally progress to, and then try and figure out what the strategy is to pull that stuff into, you know, your operational execution, because that's what's going to get you there. But yeah, you know, it's exciting. And I'm looking forward to the next couple of years.
Me too. Thanks, Daniel, for your time, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
We're excited. You're excited.
I really value and appreciate your support during this time.
Helping decision makers navigate the change and to keep some change in their pockets.
Don't forget to subscribe. Follow our Instagram handle at
TalkDigitalZA.
Engage us on our website at TalkDigitalZA.co.za.
And who knows, you could be featuring on the next one.